Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I'm the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. Welcome to the show. I'm awfully glad you could join me today. I love our time together, and I hope you like it too. So thank you so much for listening and supporting Faith Radio. Have you heard that on March 16th, we're going to have the big 70th anniversary of Faith Radio? It all started in 1940-something, 48 maybe. I think that's it. 70 years ago, we're going to have a big night of celebration on Saturday, March 16th at the Knight Performance Hall on the campus of University of Northwestern, featuring myself along with Bob Stromberg and Mike Donnelly. We are the three writers and authors of the show Triple Espresso. We are not doing a performance of Triple Espresso. We are doing a night of music and comedy and ministry, and it will be a blast. I'll give you a personal guarantee. If it's not the funniest night you've had out in 10 years, you bring me your ticket stub and proof of purchase, and I will personally tell you how sorry I am. That's my promise. So we've got a great show coming up. Dr. Mike Ashcraft is going to be with me in just a minute. Then Dr. Clarence Schuller is also on the program in the first hour. You know I love Scripture, and if you've not called in with a verse, please do call in and leave a voicemail saying, hey, I just want to leave a verse for Bill's show. You call 877-933-2484. And it gets right into our voicemail, and leave your favorite verse, a life verse or one that you love. And all you have to do is say what the verse is and read it, and I'll put it on the show. And one day you'll just be going about your business, driving along in the car, being mad that you're stuck in traffic. You're going to hear your voice on the radio. It'd be great. So 877-933-2484. Here's Twyla reading Psalm 48, verse 1.
Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain.
Thank you for seeing the value of a biblical education, for allowing me to pursue my passion of public relations. Thank you for showing me that you care about my future, for being a part of my journey at University of Northwestern. My name is Dylan, and I'm from Benson, Minnesota, and a junior at the University of Northwestern. I want to thank every person who gives to the Northwestern Scholarship Fund. Without you, I would not be where I am today. You can give to students like me by visiting unwsp.edu/give.
How you start each day often sets the tone for how your day will go. A healthy breakfast is a good start, but what really helps is God's Word. When you sign up for Faith Radio's Verse of the Day, you'll receive a daily Bible verse via email or text message. Just visit myfaithradio.com and click on Verse of the Day to register, or text the word VERSE to 555-888. Start every day with biblical encouragement through Faith Radio's Verse of the Day.
It is 7 minutes after the hour. Mike Ashcraft is the senior pastor at Port City Community Church in North Carolina. He loves to reach people and help them with their walk with God. So I'm already a fan of Mike. I already like him. So for nearly a decade, he has had this idea to get people to abandon their resolutions just really and focus on one word to be their focus for an entire year. And Mike thinks of himself as just a regular guy, which I like him even more. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor to be on with you guys.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Now, your idea of having just one word to focus on, this can be a kind of a game changer for people, can it?
It really has. And over the last, and you mentioned decade, you know, the stories are remarkable of how pervasive it really is, because it just allows us to see so much more than just whether or not we're doing something about, you know, a promise we made to ourselves, whether it's to be in better shape or more organized or something like that. It's just pervasive into so many areas of our life that we don't even really suspect or understand when we start off on the journey.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, I know you've written a book called My One Word, Change Your Life with Just One Word. How do we get started? How do we go about choosing our word for the year?
So it's real simple. The one mistake, I'll start that way, that people make is they sort of have a knee-jerk reaction. They hear about it and go, oh, my word is, and they just pick it. And I'm a big believer in the process. It's why, you know, you mentioned our mission is to reach people and help them walk with God. The process of formation, what God promises to do in our life, requires every moment, every day, and he's always doing things and working things toward his good in our lives. And so instead of just picking what I recommend is really embracing the process, taking 2 to 3 weeks. You know, the beautiful thing about reading a book is it slows everything down. It's not tweets or blog posts. It really requires some slowing down of our thinking and our minds, getting on a journal, writing some things down. And what I really, you know, ask people to do is, you know, start, instead of starting with all the things that you wish you hadn't have done last year, mm-hmm. start with the idea that you have 12 months to become somebody, to become someone whom God has created, whom God intends to be here and to be for. And what kind of person would you like to become? And we start with vision. We begin to describe that. And once you start getting yourself out of the habit of trying to change because you're sick of the way you have been or what you've done, it starts to get our minds in the direction of what is it that God has created us to be. And it's just it's a vision thing, and it's a really powerful exercise that most people don't give themselves permission or credit to think in that direction.
Yeah. Mike, this is great material, and my only concern right now I have is our connection's a little bad on your end. Are you on a headset?
Oh, I am not, but okay. I can give you a landline if that'll help.
Yeah, that would be good. We're going to take a little break and reconnect with you because the connection's not great, and I want all of our listeners to hear all this good stuff. Mike Ashcraft is my guest, and we'll take a short break and be right back with more in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. A good marriage means more than just being in love. Here are some thoughts on this from author and speaker Candace Waters.
People who are married understand that you take a vow before God to get married because you know that the feelings won't last. You absolutely don't stay married because you feel a certain way, because your feelings are so fickle. And so the whole essence of marriage is covenant. And the whole notion of covenant is I bind myself to you forever, regardless of how I feel on any given day. And so love is great. But we have to stop and say, what do you mean by love? And if all you are talking about is how you feel, you can't help but fall in and out of love. And if that's the basis of your relationship, it's going to be a very transitory relationship.
Some thoughts from Candace Waters, who along with her husband Steve run the ministry Boundless for Focus on the Family. Learn more from Candace at myfaithradio.com.
We are back, and Mike Ashcraft is my guest. We're talking about having my one word, change your life with just one word. And he's been sort of on a campaign to help people draw closer in their walk with the Lord and doing it by picking one word and focusing on it. Mike, can you start off by explaining unresolutions?
Unresolutions. Well, it's kind of the opposite of resolutions. Instead of making promises to ourselves about things that we will or will not do, we start with a view, a lens through which to see our entire life, and so it's the actual opposite of making a promise, and that's the whole point of it. It allows us to, you know, if a promise, you make a promise to yourself, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to read my Bible, all good things, and then as soon as we don't do it, we either, you know, succeed or fail. And as soon as we don't do it, we fail. And what most people tend to do is when they fail at something, they start to believe, well, I'm really not cut out for that. And so what My One Word does is it sort of takes that pressure off and said it just provides you with a way to see your life and what God is doing and longs to do in your life. And that way our successes or our failures become a part of the process by which God uses to form us. It's not an excuse. But rather, it's a way to see that even some of the most difficult things that we go through, God still has this unbelievably gracious capacity to cause them to work for his good. And I've seen that in my own life.
Can you share some examples of words maybe you've used throughout the years?
Sure. I put them all on my list, on my journal every year. So I've got all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of them. This is my 13th word. A couple of them, you know, some of them were, you know, the first word I picked was finish. And what it really had to do with, it began as sort of a productivity thing to realize that I had a lot of loose ends. I wasn't completing some of my tasks. I wasn't finishing days well. I talk about this in the book, but as it went from just finishing tasks and making sure I finished books that I had started to read, or, you know, really tried to work on bringing finishes to my messages and things like that, I realized that oftentimes I'd be in a conversation with someone and something else would pop up. I'd go from one thing to the next, and I never really finished those conversations or finished paying attention to a particular person because someone else was in line or someone else was, you know, needed my attention. And that really quickly became about my own, even finishing my days, how I came to my house and how I treated my children and my wife. And it allowed me to begin to see how, you know, looking through the lens of finish, what does it look like to finish a day? Does it look like just racing your kids to bed so they'll get out of your hair and so you can sit on the couch and veg out? Is that really a good finish that, you know, to a day? And I realized that it wasn't, and I actually had a say in how I finished my days. So I created a little discipline to finish my days that year. 1 year my word was invest. 1 year my word was shape, recognizing that I had the capacity to bring shape to some ideas and things that I had been personally struggling with, some insecurities and things. And so words that just helped me see what God was calling me to do, how he wanted to use me, and it took a lot of time just to bring, you know, increased clarity to those areas of my life.
So you've got a great list. I mean, that first word just sort of, I was stuck on finish because I would think that's be the greatest word for just about everybody listening. Because, you know, I think it's something that we all have unfinished business. We all have things that we need to, you know, get done and complete. And, you know, the thought of an unfinished task is exhausting. It's just, you can give yourself a lot of energy by just finishing it, can't you?
Absolutely. And, and it becomes something that's doable. And that to me is the important thing. You know, most people when they're especially when they're dealing with their spiritual life, you know, as a pastor, you know, if you ask people about their spiritual life, they'll typically answer in a negative fashion. You know, how's your prayer life? Well, I don't pray enough. How's your quiet time? I don't do it enough. I don't read my Bible enough. It's always, you know, responded to with sort of a, I don't do enough, which is really the exact opposite of the gospel, right? That to me is what this is about. It's about saying, you know, it's not about whether you've done enough or not enough. It's about looking at something and deciding, what am I going to do about this right now? Regardless of what you did before, regardless of what you didn't do last year, what am I going to do about it today? You know, I put my word in front of me every day in my office, on my mirror, on my dashboard, in my car. I see it on my planner. You know, some people put it on their phones. And every, like this year, my word I've just chosen is behold. And there's some specific reasons, but every day when I look at this, or, you know, I'm thinking, what are my eyes set on? What am I seeing? What am I responding to based on what I'm seeing? And it's that conversation in your head that just reminds you that everything that I look at and do has an effect on my mind and my heart, and most importantly, am I responding to my view of God and what he has called me to do and who he is in my life?
All right, Mike Ashcraft is my guest. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion on choosing a word, having one word that you're going to have as sort of your marching orders throughout the year that you're going to have in the front of your mind throughout your day. It's going to be on a card in your car. It's going to be on your shaving mirror. It's going to be everywhere. And you're going to see what happens 1 year later. We'll take a short break and be back with Mike in just a minute. Say hello to Mike Ashcraft. He's my guest. He's the senior pastor at Port City Community Church in North Carolina. And he's written a book that is about one word. It's called My One Word, Change Your Life with Just One Word. And he's now in his 13th year of having a word that sort of helps shape his year and to keep focused on that one word And Mike, as you think of the 13 years you've been doing this, what 1 year jumps off the page more than others?
Oh, man, there's been a few that were unusually hard that probably jump off the page. That, you know, I mentioned the word shape, which was really about a lot of our sort of mission and organizational, a lot of things that just really challenged my leadership. One of the ones I had was regard, which was just a real personal struggle with some things, with some doubts, with some insecurities that really were important for God to, I think, to forge in me. So different ones. The beautiful thing now as you get into it multiple years is you begin to see an arc. You begin to determine or discern the narrative of what God has been doing in my life over the years. So as whereas I've always kept a journal, and so I look back and I can see where God's been doing different struggles with people, struggle with character issues, struggle with all sorts of things that we go through as humans, places where I've grown tremendously. And so I track that in my journals, but when I look at my words, you kind of get a bigger, almost like the chapters in a book. You kind of see what happened during that year, and I can remember certain things that were very important. The year with my word, I had one of my words in 2016 was yoke. So I have a big yoke in my office, a big wooden yoke that someone gave me. And it was really about partnership. When we read this idea that Jesus says, you know, take my yoke upon you, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, he talks about the way we learn from him isn't about you know, applying his teaching. The way he invited us to learn from him was to walk with him, to partner with him, and he doesn't take his yoke and drop it on our necks. He shares it with us. So that was a very freeing year for me to realize that I'm not – you know, God's not placed this burden on me and then said, go, you know, muster up the strength to do it. He's like basically said, my son is walking and sharing, carrying this load, you know, with you. And so it's just a lot of things like that give you, you know, so when you're dealing with issues or particular struggles, whether it's with a person or organizationally or in a relationship that's important to you, you know, it just gave me a lens through which to realize that, okay, I'm yoked to Jesus in this, and he's carrying as much of this load as I am. You know, his burden is – or his yoke is easy. And it just gives you a little bit of perspective as you enter into things that we deal with or have to deal with anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mike, are we trying to pick a word that is going to help us become more of the person we want to be?
Yes. It's and the beautiful thing about it is people, most of the time, they're afraid to pick the wrong word. You know, do I pick love or do I pick patience? You know, well, if you pick patience, the odds are you're probably going to become more loving. If you pick love, you're probably going to become more patient. So we have to kind of, that's really the challenge of it, is not getting hung up on, you know, did I pick the exact right word? You know, what we're trusting is, you know, it's the promise that God gives us that he is faithful to complete the work that he's begun. And all we're doing is setting a lens, you know, in front of us to help us see that and notice that. I think that, you know, part of the, you know, at least my assumption is that a lot of the reason people don't see God's work in their life isn't because he's not working. It's because we don't have a mechanism to pay attention to it.
Yeah,
so
good point.
What we do is we set up and say, this is the kind of person that I want to become. You know, it was so funny when I was wrestling my word this year, you know, I was sitting on the couch with my daughter. She's 17, a senior in high school, and we talk about our words a lot in our house and such. And she said, I was like, I'm really having trouble picking my word this year. I said, it's kind of blurry. And she sat down in this real serious voice. She says, Dad, what kind of person do you want to become in 2019? You know, and you know, and that's exactly the framing question. And what I wanted to become was the kind of person who sees. That was the picture in my head. I want to be someone who sees God more clearly, sees his work more clearly. And so, you know, it led to me. I'm not just vision or something like that, but rather this word, behold. And so, when you think about what kind of person you want to become, some people need to become more truthful or more, and not more truthful, but just truthful in the sense that they don't shade or hide or run from truth, or that they want to, you know, have a stronger sense of integrity or more sense of tenderness toward people. And when you start to get those kind of descriptions, you can recognize both things that you might struggle with that you really need help with, or just places where you feel like you're going to contribute more to the people around you. And what happens is both things happen all the time. What happens in you always affects what happens, you know, in your interactions with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking to do things for other people, it's always going to affect what's happening in you. So it's always both of those things. And it's not a promise to do one thing or the other. It usually ends up as both.
Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say, Mike, that that you can also pray that God would bring a word to you?
Absolutely. I've had, you know, some people tell me, they say, you know, Mike, I was sitting in a service or listening to a song, and you know, God gave me my word.
Okay.
You know, that's totally fine. I don't make it as though it's not a promise. It's not something that God has said, oh, my word is abundance, and so God's going to lavish, you know,
right,
abundance on me. It's not a projection of our will on His. It becomes a lens to help us. You know, I had in fact, one of my dear friends, you know, the last year of her life, she was struggling with cancer, and the last year of her life on earth was finished. And one of them, in fact, I've had another friend that had the same thing. Her word was healing, and she wasn't proclaiming or projecting on God. She was saying God promises His healing either here or in eternity. And she was able to lead a lot of her friends in that journey with her as she, you know, left this earth and went to be with Jesus. But her pledge and her promise was that Jesus has healed. And, you know, those are really powerful moments for people to have to wrestle and process and watch people go through. And it becomes a really powerful tool for people to see, you know, not what we hope, you know, God's will might be for us, but what He's actually doing in our lives. That's a really, I think, important distinction.
Mm-hmm. Got a nice email from a listener named Mary. She said, I love this. She said, I've been doing this for some years, and her last year her word was enough. Enough things, enough food, enough busyness. Then immediately the words to the hymn, it is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me, popped into her head. She filters everything through that word. It's a pretty strong image.
Yeah, and it's so good because everybody can do that. You know, everybody, and it's something that God brings to mind, whether it's a hymn or a song or a verse. You know, I always recommend that people pick a verse that they kind of use to go along with it. It's something I memorized. one year my word was inspire,
mm-hmm.
and I used Romans chapter 6, verse 17, and what it talks about is that we are no longer slaves to sin, but that our hearts have been captured. We have become given our allegiance to this teaching that has captured our hearts. And so this idea of inspiring wasn't just about, you know, me having inspiring messages for people or inspiring people to walk with God. It really became about what inspires me.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized in that, there's a big difference. You know, every year at the end, I try to come up with a tweetable phrase, and it was that there's a difference between that which catches our eye and that which captures our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that paraphrase helped me.
Yeah. If you want to go and download a free chapter in Mike's book, you can go to myoneword.org, myoneword.org. Mike Ashcroft has been my guest. Mike, thanks for coming on the show. It's great having you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. Mike Ashcroft, again, has been my guest. Myoneword.org is the place to go and download a chapter and learn more about him. We'll take a short break and be right back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. It was awfully nice to talk to Mike Ashcroft. He met his wife, Julie, in the second grade. That's how long they've known each other. Can't imagine. That's what your first date might have been. Cartoons and apple juice, probably. Who knows? Anyway, we've got Dr. Clarence Schuler on the line. He's president and CEO of BLR, which is Building Last Relationships. Clarence is a counselor, speaker, and author of several books, including Winning the Race to Unity, Is Racial Reconciliation Really Working, Keeping Your Wife Your Best Friend, and Single and Free to Be Me. He lives in Colorado Springs with his wife, Brenda, and they've got three adult daughters. Clarence, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Now, this book that I want to talk about today is Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Make. Congratulations. It's coming out this month. Is that right?
You're exactly right. Yeah, we're really excited about it, and it's also fun to write with Gary. So,
Yeah, so, Dr. Gary Chapman, we had him on the show just a little while ago, and congratulations. Let's talk about how did you two meet, and how did that relationship get started?
Well, we met, I met him back in 1968 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A buddy of mine was going to an integrated school. I was going to a black school, and back then, race relations were kind of tense, and my friend needed a bodyguard. He was only like 4 feet, 7 inches tall, and I was much bigger. I was 4 feet eight.
Yeah.
So we convinced
our parents. You're a bone crusher at 4'8".
Just a white church, and that's where we met Gary. He came on the basketball court, and we began to develop a relationship. And a couple years later, he introduced me to Jesus Christ, and we've been together pretty much ever since.
Awesome. So let's talk about teenage boys and some of the biggest problems and issues they're facing today.
Well, I think the teenage boys are facing just a ton of issues, but some big ones that they're really working with is struggling with this whole thing about a work ethic. They're struggling with learning or even knowing about how to respect girls and women, being sexually responsible, and then how to make some good choices in regards to living longer. Just kind of seeing the big picture, because right now for young people, everything's right now,
mm-hmm.
not for the future and the consequences.
You don't learn a lot about delayed gratification nowadays, do you?
No, you don't.
So let's talk about some good, solid, wise decisions that we can learn from the book.
Well, a couple of topics that we're really promoting is this whole idea of having parents or if you don't have a dad in particular, a trusted adult. And we actually encourage the mom, if she finds the guy that she would like her son to be mentored by, that she even does background checks. But as I'm working with young men who are older, they all regret not having a dad if they don't have one. Or some who do have dads wish their dad played a bigger role. So having that trusted adult in their life is important. We stress the importance of education. Again, it's kind of a long-term perspective. Talk about technology, how to make it work for you, not get abused by it or abuse others with it. And how to invest in others. And one of the last things we talk about, which I think is so important, is to know the truth about God, you know, what he's all about. So mm-hmm. those are some of the topics that we address in the book.
Yeah, it sounds, Clarence, like your life has had some awfully good, wise decisions in it. Maybe you would talk a little bit about the trajectory of your life because of your wise decisions.
Well, I think one of the best things that happened was really coming to know Christ. And what that did, I had a great biological dad, but also it introduced me to Gary Chapman. So I ended up for a while having two really great dads, which really helped me a lot. So they helped me to make some really good choices. And then there was a time I didn't make a good choice when I was in college and not really studying, because I was, long story, I won't go into that. But the result of me not studying, I ended up flunking out of school near in my senior year, and the consequence of that was becoming homeless. So I've made some good decisions and made some bad decisions. So I had to really learn about being responsible, accountability, and also consequences for my decisions.
Mm-hmm. I know education is important. You spent a whole chapter talking about having and seeking knowledge through education, and I'm awfully glad you finished, and then you pursued graduate degrees as well. Share with our listeners how that went.
Well, you know, I think once I was on my own when I was 18 because we weren't poor, we were poor. My parents couldn't afford to, you know, send me to college, so I was supposed to go play ball in college, and that didn't work out, and so I ended up going to Moody, a Bible Institute, which is a great school, but I was just too immature to do it. I mean, to appreciate it. But once I flunked out of school, I had to go back and get my grades up and stuff like that, and it really began to help me appreciate school. And then I went to grad school to work on my master's, studying actually became an act of worship. And God just really made it really clear that if he couldn't trust me with the books, he wasn't going to trust me with people. And so it just began to open a lot of different doors, and studying helped me to serve other people, but it also provided fulfillment. So when I look back on it, I really appreciate my education, but it's not just to have a degree or degrees, that it's really to help other people,
mm-hmm.
So which provide fulfillment for me as a byproduct.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Clarence Schuler is my guest. He's written a book with Dr. Gary Chapman called Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Make. And we've got four copies to give away, and I want to make that available, especially if you've got a brave young man in your life that you need to have make wise decisions. I think you will enjoy this the most. And you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and make sure you give your name and address, because if you do win the drawing, we need to know where to send the book. But just in the title line, you can put wise decisions, and then we'll know where that's headed. I know that gets to be a really big topic, Clarence, when we start to talk about young men and their responsible use of technology.
Yes.
Would you talk about how difficult it is for them to use that wisely?
Well, unfortunately, you know, a lot of guys don't use it wisely, and one of the biggest problems with technology is that for a lot of guys, they get caught up in pornography, and or they get caught up in sexting, and we just want to make guys aware of the consequences of that. One young man was with his girlfriend, and they both traded sexting pictures of each other. And what the young boy didn't realize, the young man didn't realize, he was 18, and for him, someone, either his phone or his girlfriend's phone, got those pictures and turned them in. In the state he was in, it was a felony. He got arrested. He lost his basketball scholarship, and they are spending tens of thousands of dollars to try and get all that changed and him out of, you know, his situation. So that's one misuse of technology. And what people don't often realize is that those pictures are around forever. So so we try to help guys with that. I think another thing we try to help young guys with technology is not writing emotional emails or other use of social media to talk to that person, that whoever you have to talk in person about big issues, and not put emotional issues in emails or texts or Instagram, stuff like that. It can often be misinterpreted. Those are a couple of things we try to address with young men and technology.
So when technology is such a critical part of how young people socialize today, and I remember when I was growing up, there was a phone in the hallway, and if you were on the phone, everybody knew who you were talking to, and they could they could hear your conversation. And nowadays, people can be texting with the lights off under their pillows at midnight, and nobody knows what's going on. So how do we help kids make wise decisions? Because when their phone is even in their room, all of their cognitive ability gets sucked right over to the phone. All they want to do is go beyond it.
Well, we talked to them about that. And in some ways, young people don't realize that they're actually being enslaved by their phone. And sometimes when I'm sitting talking, interacting with them, doing speaking to them, and we create a safe place for them, I often ask them, "Are you guys, do you think you're selfish?" And the guys say, "Well, yeah." And I say, "What makes you selfish?" And they almost all say our cell phones. And so I said, and people want to be liked so much that they're even buying friends. As an app, you can buy friends on Facebook because they want to be popular. And so I just try and tell them about self-worth, that because they're creating God's image, that they have value, they have purpose and a destiny. I say, let's figure out what that is. And I said also, a lot of times, is it true? And they say yes, that you'll say things on the text, you know, social media, that you wouldn't say face-to-face. And they say, yes. I say, well, you don't want to do that. And so I think as you sit and talk and have discussions, and I just tell them, don't do it, but why? Then I say, I never thought about that. And it helps them in that process. And we also say, you know, sometimes if we're texting all the time, we lose our social skills of just talking to people. And they say, wow. And so it just really helps. And I say, well, this comes important when you start to date. And then it really gets their attention. So I think we try to make it practical as well as biblical.
Yeah. So let's talk about mentors, because mentors are so critical. And they're so we just don't have enough of them. And every young kid needs one. So maybe we can start with hearing some of your life lessons that you got from your mentors.
Well, I think some of the things that I learned from my mentors was just how to treat a woman. I watched my dad, who was one of my mentors, how he treated my mom, and her love for each other has really, really helped me a lot. and he's always stayed with my mom. So one of the things I learned with my dad was that for me, when I got married, divorce was not an option for me, that I was going to work hard to make it work. I think there are other things, too, like with Gary Chapman, who was also one of my mentors. He really emphasized education and the importance of it, not just, again, to accumulate degrees, but to serve people. And then I think he really, really helped me with discipleship, which is just so transformational, to help people grow in their faith so they can help other people grow in their faith and develop spiritual grandchildren. And so I think having mentors, and I think maybe the biggest thing that mentors helped me do that I think been hard to learn on my own, was the long-term consequences of my actions. That was just priceless. And I still have mentors today, even though I'm a, hate to say, an older adult. But it's just invaluable. And Bill, even today, I've had two guys email me or text me and say, hey, will you mentor me? Can you talk to me once a month to help me in my marriage or help me some work with younger guys? So it's a really big aspect of our lives today.
Yeah, it's a huge one. Dr. Clarence Schuler is my guest. He's the president and CEO of BLR, Building Last Relationships, and he's got a book called Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Make. If you want to get into a drawing to win a copy of that book, email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and you can get involved in the drawing. Make sure you put Wise Decisions in the title and include your name and address. And if you have a question that you'd like to ask Clarence, you can call us right now at 877-933-2484, or you can send us a text at the same number, 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. Back to the show. It's 14 minutes until the top of the hour, and Dr. Clarence Schuler is my guest. We're chatting about his book that he wrote with Dr. Gary Chapman called Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Make. And I know mentoring and parenting is so critical, Clarence, and I'm thinking about time-tested values like respect and integrity and honesty, and even teaching young boys how to have a sense of humor that's glorifying to God, because the tendency of especially young men is to be overly sarcastic or biting and mean, and it's there's a lot of bullying that goes on, and kids think they're being funny when in fact they're not.
Well, I think a lot of times that, unfortunately, sometimes we see adults doing that. They see adults doing that, and they mimic that, and they see a lot of that on TV and stuff like that as well. And what we try and do is to put them into sort of real-life situations. And for example, that a lot of times someone's bullying is because they've been bullied. And what they tend to do is pass on that chain of pain to other people around. And so we try and encourage them to be brave young men and choose not to do that, to choose to welcome a new student and make them feel at home as opposed to ostracizing them or laughing at them and make them butt their jokes. And we do that, and also we really do that, especially when we deal with women, because sometimes people think humor, males think humor is degrading women, is funny, and it's really not. A lot of times they cry for help. So we also help them see females as their mothers, sisters, and those kind of relationships, or grandparents. And then when they look at that perspective, it helps them see, well, I need to treat women in a different perspective, like I like someone to treat my mother or my sister.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a lot of kids nowadays that are afraid to try new things because they're afraid of failing. And there was a time when you and I were growing up where if you failed, it might not show up as a video on Facebook later that night.
Well, yeah, you're right. And you know, there's so many stories in the book. We use Ben Carson, for example, who was not doing well in school, but he had a really smart mom who challenged him to and it actually forced him to read books and write reports. And the result of that is in his little neighborhood where they were poor, he was traveling around the world in his mind. But it changed his lifestyle, and it changed what he became and what he does. And so we encouraged him to think, you know, differently, to sort of think maybe out of the box from what the culture tries to tell young men to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very important point.
Yeah. Clarence, can boys choose to live happier lives?
Yes, Yes. You know, they may not be cool initially, but saying no to drinking and to drugs can help them live a longer life. You know, because we've done a lot of research, which you'll see in the book, that's not boring, but we talk about some things and how what drugs and alcohol can do your brain cells and how it can impact you. And so when you see the big picture, that's one way of choosing to live a longer life by not drinking. Even smoking can make a difference. And also, you've shared several times about education. And what education does, it can help people. It teaches discipline. Learning about education can help you not live by your emotions. But education can also impact your earning potential, which affects your quality of life. And that can impact your family to the next three or four generations.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that young men are getting better at developing friendships across racial and cultural boundaries?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think probably much better than my generation. And I think sports have been really helpful. I think as people get to meet each other and see differences, they're not always on a level playing field. So I think in some ways it's still not totally changed. And a lot of times people see one group and say, these people are bad, but they don't understand the cause and effect that might put people in certain situations. But I think it's still an individual thing. It's not a big movement. And so I think as you see people as equals, that makes all a difference. And I remember back in 68 when it wasn't cool, and Gary Chapman is Caucasian. I'm African American. I was black back then, but
so you've always been black.
yeah. And so I asked him one day, years later after I had kids, I said, why did you invest in my life? Why did you take the risk? Because I saw how people looked at him when he treated me as equal. I hadn't even come to his home for dinner and do different things. And he said it was the right thing to do, but he took a risk, and he had some unpleasant experiences because he wouldn't stop being my friend, which blew me away. Which he never told me about, but his wife shared some things, and it was really powerful. But I think it's more of a one-on-one issue than a movement.
Mm-hmm. Now I know you are encouraging boys to develop a sense of helping others, investing their lives in being in service to helping others. Is there some practical ways you can share that boys can get involved in that, right, in getting involved in service?
Well, I don't know if they still do this, but when I was younger, about 100 years ago, my parents actually made me cut the grass for senior citizens.
Oh, wow.
And which I had no desire to do whatsoever. But what was neat about it, as I cut your yards and different things, they would come out and talk to me sometimes after I cut, I was cleaning up, cut your yard, I was cleaning up. And they would impart wisdom to me and things I had never thought about. You know, sometimes they would pay me if they could, and a lot of times my parents would not let me keep the money. But I learned to invest in others, and it helped build my character.
Mm-hmm.
And when you give to other people, especially those who can't give back to you, it's something special about that. But, you know, Gary modeled that, and all the men in my life who are invested in me, they've modeled that to me. And so, consequently, when I have other people, that's what I do. But when you help other people, it's really special. But a lot of times I find out, Bill, I get more than I ever give.
Yeah. So, Clarence, every kid is going to go through this period of rebellion, and they're going to be asking themselves the hard questions. They're going to be in difficult situations. So what kind of questions can boys ask themselves when they're really in a difficult place in their life?
Well, I think they have to ask themselves this question. What are the long-term consequences of my actions? You know, you can do something now and not think about the consequences, but the consequences will always catch up with you. And so when you ask yourself, what are the long-term consequences of my action, then the next question you have to ask yourself, when you find out what that is, you have to say, do I want to pay the cost? And then another question you might have to ask, which a lot of times we don't anticipate, who else will my decision impact either positively or negatively when I do what I do? And if you're a Christ follower as a young man, then you have to ask the question, will God get the most glory out of this situation? So those are, I think, some real critical questions you need to ask when you think about making decisions.
Mm-hmm. When you mentor boys today and you see how they're being treated in the church, are we doing a good job of connecting with them? Are we as a community making sure they're not slipping through the cracks in the church environment, or are we preoccupied with our own issues?
Well, I can't speak for all churches, but, you know, a lot of churches I go to, I would say we probably aren't, because I'm talking to the same kids in churches, and their parents are shocked when I come to their churches and the kids are asking me questions, because we interact as my format as opposed to lecturing. They struggle with this whole thing about manhood, identity. And so what we're trying to do is help fathers or trusted adults who are substitute dads, whatever, to learn how to love these boys into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer their questions. So, you know, typically for the church is not a safe place for men in general. That's why when Promise Keepers came out in the 90s, why it blew up so much, because the church was not a safe place. It didn't speak the language of men, and church is primarily geared toward women. And so so we do have to do a lot more work with the young men. And young men really want older men they can talk to, but they just want to make sure the older men they can talk to are transparent and authentic, and they can trust them.
So, Clarence, if I was going to have an interaction with a teenager, and what would be a good question to try to get into their mind and to try to get them to talk?
Well, I would ask him, if I have a relationship with him, you know, what does he want to do, you know, when he grows up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would ask him, you know,
shortstop for the Yankees.
I would ask him, how are things going from right now?
Mm-hmm.
And what are some things that in life that he really likes right now? But also ask him, what are some things that he's really struggling with right now? I would ask him, how does he feel about himself? What does he think about himself?
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he like himself? Or if he doesn't, why doesn't he like himself? And those questions would really open the door, because a lot of people aren't asking their young people those questions. And if you listen to them and they open up, then they want you to be there to help walk with them. And you don't have to have the answers, but if you say, hey, I'll walk with you through this, then that's what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And that will make a difference in a young man, what he does and what he doesn't do.
Yeah. Clarence, this is really a great story. It's great that you met Gary Chapman, you know, years ago, and you were able to become friends, and he opened his door to friendship and vice versa. And now, decades later, you guys write a book together.
Well, he's always been in my life, and I think it's a God thing. I mean, he's the best man at my wedding, did our premarital counseling before we got married, and he's like a grandfather to my kids. So it's a very special, I don't know if it's unique, but a lot of people think it is, but it's been a great experience. So I'm grateful to God for him and, his investment in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've gotten my hands on one of your books, and I've gone through it, and it's a beautifully laid-out book, and the people who win a copy of it today are going to be thrilled. And if you didn't win a copy, you're going to want to go check it out. The book is called Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Make. My guest has been Dr. Clarence Schuler. And Clarence, it's been just a delight to meet you. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, Bill, thanks so much for the opportunity. And it's been fun talking with you. And thank you for your great insight.
Well, I want you on again. I mean, so we'll call you again and we'll continue this discussion. I want to talk to you about some of your other books as well, because the titles
okay.
are great, and I know you've got a lot more wisdom to share with our listeners.
Well, Bill, you're very kind. Thanks. I'd love to come back on again.
All right. Thank you so much, Clarence. Again, if you want to get in on the drawing for a copy of Clarence's book, Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Make, just put wise decisions in the subject line and then send me an email, bill@myfaithradio.com. We've had a whole bunch of emails that come in, so there's going to be four lucky winners that we're going to draw and send out a copy of the book to. So that is bill@myfaithradio.com. Just to give you another reminder, make sure you put your address, because if you do win a copy, we need to know where to send it. All right, we'll take a little break and be back with more in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.